This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Protestations of Obama himself in his speech to the children in Northern Ireland about peace. When he said, those who choose a path of peace, I promise you that the United States of America will support you every step of the way. We will be the wind at your back. Now I ask you, is this person going for the Hypocrite of the Century Award? Because we have to call things by their right names. And the reality is that by any serious examination, this man is a war criminal.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat
and put on the Kevlar.
It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are. That's why you're listening to this radio show. So anyway, welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. We have a lot of things going on here in, here on Agenda 21 Radio. We've been talking about the Bracero program in the last hour. We may actually continue on with that. I've got an agenda, though. I'm trying to try and stick to the agenda, as we always do here. You can call in at 215-867-8255. That's 8255. So 215-867-8255. And if you want to talk about the Bracero program or any of those kind of things, we're also going to be talking about, naturally, what's going on at the border. It's an absolute outright invasion at this point in time. And you know, you got to talk about some history when you talk about these things. So I bring up the Bracero program because I was affected by it, actually, when I was a kid growing up. Waito, they called me, because I used to work in the fields. I was a white young man in a brown world. And I got to tell you, it was one of great experiences. Did it for 3 years. Just to sort of let you know, this whole Bracero thing has been an interesting thing to kind of examine. So it was a part of my life I didn't really realize until later, when I was working in education and schools and so on. And it became a significant factoid. And now, of course, we're seeing some of the real effects of the Bracero program that started a long time, actually, even before the Bracero program came about in 1942. As a result of the war, with the contracting of them, workers started really back in the around the turn of the century, after the Mexican American War. Well, after that, of course. course, the Mexican-American War set up the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo. Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo. It was 1846, something like that. And that gave California and Texas, the whole Southwest, to the United States. Yeah, that was the end result of the Mexican-American War. Just to let you know, these are some of the things we're going to be talking about. Okay, but getting back into some of the obvious headlines, I think it'd be appropriate to do that right now. We talked in the last hour about some of the questions that were unanswered about the Trump investigation so far, and Cheryl Atkinson pulled out a really, really good article about that. We talked about that. The Senate GOP fails to end Democratic delays on Trump nominees' nuclear option for McConnell. Now, I did get a factoid that came across the screen, and I'm looking for it right now, where there is some sort of, you know what, I'm going to go to Drudge, wherever Drudge can be found, right? It's kind of interesting. No, come on, go to the right place. Oh, we talked about Joe Biden, and we also talked about Chicago, a new mayor for Lightfoot is her name, elected to Chicago's first black woman and open gay mayor. Right, right. You know, it's interesting. We talk about Illinois and we talk about California. There's a new Illinois movement and there's a new California movement, and it's just absolutely ecstatic what's going on. So the new California movement involves 52 counties. It's 58 total counties. California involves 52 counties, and it's a task to get. You know, it's like herding cats, as they say with reputs, like herding cats. Not really. We got some just wonderful people and wonderful county things going on. All things are starting to grow and grow exponentially, which is always a very good thing. But Illinois is a little bit different creature, but not much. They suffer from the same problem we suffer from here, and that is just, you know, no representation to rural areas of their states. So we talked a lot about that. We talked, you know, Reynolds versus Sims. We brought that up in the second hour about the dynamics of the 60s and how many things came out of the 60s that are affecting us today. And immigration, of course, at the border is a big, big part of that. And so anyway, I'm looking to see, though, and we talked about Joe Biden, and Joe Biden's kind of sleazy little thing going on. We talked about a thing that I'm looking for the article about whether or not I'll have to go to guns here. I'm too close for, what did they say in Top Gun? I'm too close for missiles. I'm switching to guns. So I'll be switching to guns now because they're really too close to missiles. Millions without water is crisis. Oh, I'm sorry. We need to go back. I do have to talk about this. Venezuelans, stop it. Fox News boss Suzanne Scott keeps focus on winning. Okay. Venezuelan storm borders as Colombia warns Russia. Oh, this is a new one. Says here, this is interesting, court watch Clarence Thomas not retiring this year. Chinese soldiers arrive, world-ending storm. Millions without water. Now, Chinese soldiers arrive. What's that about? Ding, 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 ding. If you are not paying attention, the world-ending storm of a third world war is gathering in Venezuela. Yep. Okay, we're going to have to talk about this because it's popped up. This is an article that came out with Charles Mudidi. It's called The Stranger, Things to Read. World War Z End. It says, this is something, American Empire. At first, the U.S. aggressive position on Venezuela seemed uncomplicated. Troops were quickly on the mind of the top hawk D.C. White House National Security Advisor John Bolton, the man who, in the first years of the 2000s, played a key role in leading the U.S. into an adventure, the Second Iraq War, and that proved to be disastrous and placed American imperial power in a terminal crisis. The collapse of the project for the new American century, the fickle public had forgotten all about that. Bolton, a member of the old gang, Cheney, Rummy, and Wolfowitz, could resume the war drumming he loves so much. The press could be expected to amplify it. And the old, this is about an article, basically, talking about the Russians and helping out Maduro. And now, apparently, we've got Chinese that are arriving down there. Now, there's going to be more about this. I'm running out of time in this segment. And this is a big thing brewing. And we, with all the other different excitement that's been going on here, we haven't really taken the time to get into the details on this. I mean, we've been so distracted. Quite literally, we have been distracted by all the different things going on in the world, such as the Mueller thing over the last 2 years. We haven't really taken a long look at what's been going on with the Chinese as they have been moving into Venezuela, along with the Russians. And this has been something that, quite frankly, we've been monitoring and having conversations with a lot of people about, and now all of a sudden it's starting to leak out that this is a big, big problem. And it is. And this is a growing problem, that the specter of a world war is actually real. We're going to come back. We're not going to do this today. But we will put up this article on Agenda 21 Radio. Anyway, stay with us. More to come here on Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, a21r.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and as you know, my passion is to help each and every one of you get the best sleep of your life. That's why I created my new Giza Dreams bed sheets. I guarantee you they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own. I started by using the world's best cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable, which is why I can give you my full 10-year warranty. But I didn't stop there. My Giza sheets also include full 21-inch wide pillowcases that will fit over any pillow and deep pocket sheets that will fit over any mattress. I guarantee you the first night you sleep on my sheets, you'll never want to sleep on anything else.
Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen right now. MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets are available in a variety of colors and will be the softest, most comfortable sheets you will ever own. Use the promo code and Mike will give you 30% off and free shipping. Giza Dreams are made with the finest, most sought-after cotton in the world. Giza cotton was once reserved for only the finest dress shirts, but is now available in Mike's Giza Dream Sheets. They feature a beautiful silky sateen weave that helps keep you cool and comfortable all night long. Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen right now to get your very own MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets. Use the promo code and Mike will give you 30% off and free shipping. That's right, 30% off and free shipping. Call or go online now.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Do you have a treasure box of coins, jewelry, silverware? Ever wonder if they have any value? We offer friendly, free, fair appraisals and pay cash on the spot.
Bring them to your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion, by the 10th Street Bridge. Always buying and selling gold, silver, and platinum jewelry, U.S. and foreign coins, sterling silverware, placer gold.
It's a great time to make some extra cash and invest in bullion, junk silver, gold and silver ingots, eagles, and maple leaves. We specialize in all precious metals. And for you coin collectors,
and for those just starting,
we have a wide selection of type coins and currency. We're PCGS and NGC affiliated. So swing by your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion.
438 Colusa Highway by the 10th Street Bridge. Friendly service, fair prices. Yuba City Coin and Bullion. 755 Coin.
welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. Okay, so they opened up the Oroville Spillway yesterday. Right now, what? I'm going to go to my sources, and we're going to check it out, what I have here lately. And it says, on your way on Fox News for the Judiciary Committee to vote. Just a little update. It says the Mueller voting on your way on Fox News for the Judiciary Committee to vote on the subpoena. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, American Indian Movement believes it's the Blackfoot. I don't understand that one. I have to contact that source. However, I do have other sources here. And this is kind of interesting because I want to give you kind of the coordinates of what's going on, because I know the people that are listening want to know what my thoughts are on this whole thing about the Oroville Dam and what's been going on. So I'm going to read you some data. This comes at 6 o'clock this morning, 6 Pacific time. We've got 854.55 feet. That's the height, okay? Now, this is the critical thing to understand and why we want to be able to give you the updated information. The height that you can go is 899.9 or 901 feet before it overtops on the spillway on the OG Weir, okay, on the dam. Now, the OG Weir is approximately half a mile away from the actual dam abutment into a mountain top, okay? And it's the head gates on top of that mountain top. There's a left abutment. If you look at the dam, there's a left abutment and there's a mountain that it goes into. There's a right abutment and there's a mountain it goes into because there's like a valley, right? Because you block off the valley, you create the dam, and you create the reservoir behind it. That makes a lot of sense. So the very top of that mountain that you're looking at on the left is where they have the head gates for the spillway, and they built the spillway, a long spillway. Okay, then further down, a half a mile from that point where the dam abuts the left side, you have the OG Weir, which is right there next to the main spillway. And the OG Weir is like a dam, sort of. And the water, it's a long thing. It's about a half mile long, actually. The water, once it gets to about 899.9 feet, about 901 feet, they say, it starts to go over the top. It overtops. Okay, it's only done that once, and that was the day I was on that dam watching it overtop. Just so happens that I was up there watching this whole thing dramatically go over. Now, that is a big thing to watch because you got, you know, millions and millions of gallons of water rushing at you. It's just absolutely phenomenal to watch that. And, of course, it was pretty obvious to me at the time on that date it was trouble. There was major trouble because of the configuration at the time. They had dirt in front as dirt acted as a spillway. But seriously, that was the design. Do you think there was a design flaw in the dam? Of course. But here was the other problem. Nobody had maintained that dirt configuration that was required of that spillway so that the water would roll over it. There was no compaction. There was nothing that allowed plants and everything to grow in it. And just prior to the spillway being put into use, the emergency spillway, they were in there clearing these big plants and trees. I mean, taking in these big scoopers and chomping them up and putting big holes down in the spillway, this dirt area in front of this OG Weir. And, of course, when I was up there watching the water cascade over it, I said, oh, there's trouble because, gosh, the water was running into the holes, the big divots that were made, and creating these big channels or crevasses. And it caused the problem known as head cutting, which meant that the water was eroding the soil, and that soil was being eroded away right in front of the OG Weir, which would have caused the OG Weir to collapse. And that was the big emergency. Okay? Now, so part of that was done in part because of what I'm telling you here. And that is that they mismanaged the water management of the dam, grossly mismanaged it. And the reason why they grossly mismanaged it is that they were thinking, oh, we have to save what is left of the spillway, so we'll just run water over the emergency spillway. We'll purposely allow it to go above that overtopping point, which was really dumb strategy. Remember, the spillway was previously damaged on the 7th of February. Now we're looking at the 11th of February, and they've got this thinking, well, we got the damage, got the big hole, we can shut down the spillway and prevent further damage. We just roll it off on the emergency spillway. Ha, ha, ha. Right. And, of course, that was dumb. And they really kind of lost control of what I'm about to tell you here. And that is the unexpected rise of the water so quickly that allowed it to overtop to begin with. That was their problem. And now the question is, are they doing the same thing? Well, I don't know. Right now, it sits that this is a couple hours ago, so I don't have the latest, but it's sitting at 854.55, and so it's probably at about 854.75 right now. I'm just kind of guessing, and this is what we have for storage. It's sitting at 2,889,884 acre-feet, okay? Now, this is where it's critical to understand. Outflow versus inflow. You can measure the amount of water coming into the reservoir, which is holding the dam's holding up, and you can measure that water. And right now, the inflow, or at least at 6 o'clock it was, 23,581. And that is CFS, cubic feet per second. Okay? Cubic feet per second. Now, your outflow is 19,404 CFS. Okay, that's your outflow. So you've got, you know, a net gain going on there of about 4,000 CFS. Get it? Then that's causing the dam to increase and go up gradually. So what they are doing, of course, is that they're managing it at a fairly appropriate level, but you never know. See, if they allow the water, if they get to a point where they are watching this stuff, and it all of a sudden jumps on them, and they haven't been managing the spillway, then we could have a problem. And that's the problem that they had before. I just got the latest data from 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock? 8 o'clock. So you're, 854.58. That was 8 o'clock, so that was just a little while ago. And the inflow, inflow versus outflow, you have inflow at 22,903. So your inflow is increasing and your outflow is staying relative. No, they increased it. See, this is good. This is good. This has been one of my major concerns and complaints, and that maybe they wouldn't necessarily manage this properly. They seem to be. But the outflow is at 19,920. Now, that doesn't tell me how much is actually going over the main spillway versus the water that's underneath the dam. Because there's tubes there that, of course, the Hyatt Power Plant, one of the tubes, I guess one of them or two of them are down, which means that they're not being able to take the full amount that could come out of the dam bottom. In other words, normally, if you're taking water from just the bottom of the dam, the base of the dam, the max it could go, at least structurally, is 14,000 CFS. Because they have tubes that are clogged or they have mechanical repair needed, they only have about 10,100 CFS able to come out of there. So right now it's telling us that they're probably putting out about 8,000 CFS over the spillway. That's kind of the calculation. Don't know for sure, or they're just giving us gross numbers, but they seem to be managing it, at least for right now. Let's hope they don't overtop. Then there's going to be problems. We'll be back. You're listening to Agenda 21 Radio.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and as you know, my passion is to help each and every one of you get the best sleep of your life. That's why I created my new Giza Dreams bed sheets. I guarantee you they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own. I started by using the world's best cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable, which is why I can give you my full 10-year warranty. But I didn't stop there. My Giza sheets also include full 21-inch wide pillowcases that will fit over any pillow and deep pocket sheets that will fit over any mattress. I guarantee you the first night you sleep on my sheets, you'll never want to sleep on anything else.
Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen right now. MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets are available in a variety of colors and will be the softest, most comfortable sheets you will ever own. Use the promo code and Mike will give you 30% off and free shipping. Giza Dreams are made with the finest, most sought-after cotton in the world. Giza cotton was once reserved for only the finest dress shirts, but is now available in Mike's Giza Dream Sheets. They feature a beautiful silky sateen weave that helps keep you cool and comfortable all night long. Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen right now to get your very own MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets. Use the promo code and Mike will give you 30% off and free shipping. That's right, 30% off and free shipping. Call or go online now.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Do you have a treasure box of coins, jewelry, silverware? Ever wonder if they have any value? We offer friendly, free, fair appraisals and pay cash on the spot.
Bring them to your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion, by the 10th Street Bridge. Always buying and selling gold, silver, and platinum jewelry, U.S. and foreign coins, sterling silverware, plaster gold.
It's a great time to make some extra cash and invest in bullion, junk silver, gold and silver ingots, eagles, and maple leaves. We specialize in all precious metals. And for you coin collectors,
and for those just starting,
we have a wide selection of type coins and currency. We're PCGS and NGC affiliated. So swing by your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion.
438 Colusa Highway by the 10th Street Bridge. Friendly service, fair prices. Yuba City Coin and Bullion. 755 Coin.
So, the former Secretary of State had an unauthorized server, and those are your words, in her basement, correct?
Correct.
Who was protecting that information? Who was protecting that server?
Well, not much.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. And we're talking a little bit about the Oroville Dam situation. So the water is flowing over the spillway. We'll have to wait and see what happens. And I'm sure it's going to stay together. Have all the confidence in the world. As long as they stop using explosives. Probably not a really good idea, especially now. Since there is a lawsuit that's been filed, you know. Just a little tidbit out there. Just a little bit of a tidbit out there for you. Anyway, socialist surge in victories in city council. This happens to be with the city of Chicago again. I think we're going to see socialism really kind of wane in the United States as soon as things start to happen here. Washington. Trump pivots on pledges. What's this about? Dem subpoena Mueller report. What is Barr hiding? Really? Well, this is the latest, I guess. This is what I got a little text about. But Trump lives. This is I'm checking out some. I'm sorry, but the shining objects just appear to me right now. I got to do something about it. Which means that I have to really take it to heart. Trump pivots on pledges. What's that about? Analyst Trump leaves Washington reeling with policy whiplash as he struggles with domestic agenda. The Washington Post. President Trump has left his advisors and GOP lawmakers reeling from policy whiplash in recent days, cycling through new ideas on health care and immigration that underscore his struggling, his continuing struggle to pursue a coherent domestic agenda in a divided Washington. Trump surprised Republicans last week with a new pledge to replace the Affordable Care Act, only to backtrack Tuesday. Yeah. Trump also sent aides in a large part of the federal bureaucracy scrambling to respond to his expansive vow to close the entire U.S. border this week unless all illegal immigration is halted by May. Well, alarmed lawmakers and business leaders warned that any such activity would be catastrophic for the U.S. economy. And administration officials signaled Tuesday that they were seeking more limited options to address a surge in migration at the border. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, we got to have that. Even efforts on which the White House has worked closely with congressional GOP leaders have seen setbacks, such as a massive disaster funding bill that stalled Monday amid partisan sniping over aid to Puerto Rico. Trump has inflamed the fight by repeatedly denigrating the island's leadership and implying that Puerto Rico, a U.S. territory, is a separate is separate from the United States. The battles in we don't want to do that. We want to make them a state. Yeah, that's we want that. We want to make New California the next state, and then we bring in Puerto Rico as the next state. Or you know, I have a feeling it could be New Illinois. GOP lawmakers, for instance, think they have successfully headed off any major health care effort, which they fear what they're going to do with that, obviously, is stall it off. They're going to get that's going to go back. That's not going to be talked about too much anymore. I think Trump realizes that's just is something that's not a non-starter for the election. Says obviously this president who tends sometimes to move on his own and then obviously has some of those conversations later. Senate Majority Whip John Thune of South Dakota said Tuesday of Trump's recent push on health care. Oh, this is what I'm talking about. That's the dynamic that everybody up here deals with. Okay, so anyway, I think that health care thing is going to go away in terms of a conversation piece. The border thing is not going to go away. Now, I was reading somewhere, and this is what I'm trying to really get at on this article or any of it, that maybe we're going to go to the nuclear option by McConnell on all things dealing with judges in particular. Because the Democrats have been pulling out all kinds of stunts to prevent any of his appointees from coming in. And, of course, the delay. And now, remember, he's got a lot of appointees for judgeships that he wants to fill. He wants to fill as many of these judgeships that were left empty by the Obama administration. Now, that was a good strategy during his administration for them. And people say, why would Obama leave these things empty? Well, why wouldn't he fill judgeships? Well, Obama realized that would be an uphill battle for him, so he just didn't fill judgeships because he knew that wherever he was operational, especially in the Ninth Circuit in California, which, by the way, needed, what, three more judges? He knew that what he could do is just not fill seats and maintain his power base with liberal judges that he had. That was the key thing for him. Liberal judges were, his mainstay. He just had fewer of them. Now they've got to fill, something like 60 vacancies. I don't know. It's a big number. And they're trying to do that. And then, of course, McConnell now is talking about nuclear option. That's what the little flashing thing, it's gone away, I'm sorry to say, and I can't find the thing, but that's what they were inferring. So is McConnell going to go to the nuclear option? I hope so. And we can get these various positions that are up to the president to appoint in. I think that's the key thing. So much for that one. Okay, Chinese woman carrying malware arrested at Mar-a-Lago while Trump was in town. This is kind of interesting. So this is a pass-through Secret Service checkpoint, had four phones, thumb drive, mystery mission. Mystery mission. And she even had a picture with the president. Mother Jones, new Chinese mystery at Mar-a-Lago. A woman from China was arrested at Trump's private club, allegedly carrying malware, and she may have been trying to attend an event promoted by Cindy Yang. Okay, so Cindy, okay, this is different. I take that back. This person was not pictured with Donald Trump. It says, there's a new Mar-a-Lago mystery. It involves a Chinese woman who allegedly tried to sneak into Donald Trump's private club carrying four cell phones, a laptop, a thumb drive, and containing malicious software. And it happened on the same day as a scheduled event at the club that was promoted by Cindy Yang, the Trump donor and massage parlor owner who ran a business that offered access to Trump and other political figures. The event was slated to feature Trump's sister, Elizabeth Trump Grau. On Monday, federal prosecutors in Florida filed charges in federal court against Yuying Zhang for unlawfully entering a restricted area on March 30th when she attempted to gain access to Mar-a-Lago and for making false statements to federal agents about her presence at the club. Trump and members of the family were visiting Mar-a-Lago when the incident occurred. Though considerable security measures were in place during the president's visit, Zhang was still able to access the grounds of the private club. According to an affidavit filed by the Secret Service, she arrived at the club, showed a security officer two Chinese tattoos. That's probably the first clue, right? And she said there was... And she said she was there to go to the pool. Club personnel, believing that she was a relative of a Mar-a-Lago member, let her in, the affidavits. But she skipped the pool and was driven by a Mar-a-Lago valet to the reception area. There she told the reception she had come to the club for an event held by the United Nations Chinese American Association. But, okay, so that's how this whole thing unraveled. What was she there for? No one knows. It coincided with, so it had something to do with the Cindy Yang thing. Why was she there? Was she representing China? It doesn't seem, you would think that the Chinese government's a little bit more smoother in their spy activity, right? But it's still something to be concerned with. As he's always concerned for his safety, as he should be. Anyway, stay with us. More to come here on Agenda 21 Radio.
He's undoing the UN, one community at a time. It's Paul Preston.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and as you know, my passion is to help each and every one of you get the best sleep of your life. That's why I created my new Giza Dreams bed sheets. I guarantee you they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own. I started by using the world's best cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable, which is why I can give you my full 10-year warranty. But I didn't stop there. My Giza sheets also include full 21-inch wide pillowcases that will fit over any pillow and deep pocket sheets that will fit over any mattress. I guarantee you the first night you sleep on my sheets, you'll never want to sleep on anything else.
Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen right now. MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets are available in a variety of colors and will be the softest, most comfortable sheets you will ever own. Use the promo code and Mike will give you 30% off and free shipping. Giza Dreams are made with the finest, most sought-after cotton in the world. Giza cotton was once reserved for only the finest dress shirts, but is now available in Mike's Giza Dream Sheets. They feature a beautiful silky sateen weave that helps keep you cool and comfortable all night long. Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen right now to get your very own MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets. Use the promo code and Mike will give you 30% off and free shipping. That's right, 30% off and free shipping. Call or go online now.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Do you have a treasure box of coins, jewelry, silverware? Ever wonder if they have any value? We offer friendly, free, fair appraisals and pay cash on the spot.
Bring them to your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion, by the 10th Street Bridge. Always buying and selling gold, silver, and platinum jewelry, U.S. and foreign coins, sterling silverware, plaster gold.
It's a great time to make some extra cash and invest in bullion, junk silver, gold and silver ingots, eagles and maple leaves. We specialize in all precious metals. And for you coin collectors,
and for those just starting,
we have a wide selection of type coins and currency. We're PCGS and NGC affiliated. So swing by your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion.
438 Colusa Highway by the 10th Street Bridge. Friendly service, fair prices. Yuba City Coin and Bullion. 755 Coin.
So, a Breitbart article, you know, it's kind of interesting. We very seldom go to Breitbart anymore. Who does, right? It kind of changed their whole format around. It's kind of stupid. It says here, this article is interesting. We're talking a lot about immigration. And this is some of the thinking out there. Jorge Ramos, Amnesty for Illegals. Migrants, quote, nothing we can do to stop them. And that would seem true. Univision anchor Jorge Ramos said on Tuesday evening that he believes the solution to the migrant crisis at U.S.-Mexico border is to just legalize immigrants, illegal immigrants, because nobody can really stop them from entering the United States. The U.S. economy has been absorbing them. And it seems that we have to realize that the only way to deal with them is in a legal way, Ramos told CNN's Anderson Cooper. Just to understand that legally they are going to keep coming and there's really nothing we can do to stop them, he said. Ramos said Americans have to understand that 300,000 to a million illegal immigrants have entered the United States every year for decades, and if more of these immigrants want to come to the United States, it is very difficult to stop them at the border, Ramos added. That Central American countries and Mexico are not the immigration police of Donald Trump, and insisted that no matter how much money is spent trying to solve the migrant crisis, governments simply don't have the power to stop them from becoming reality. Right? But the truth is that Anderson, this is talking to Anderson now, nobody can stop them, Ramos said. Nobody can really stop them. Ramos, the amnesty advocate, who has said that the United States has a responsibility to absorb the caravan migrants, made his remarks just a week after Border Patrol officials announced they are seeing the highest total of apprehensions and encounters in over a decade. President Donald Trump will head to the border town of Calexico, California, on Friday, and has threatened to close the U.S.-Mexico border if Mexico does not do more to curb the migrant caravans. This weekend, Trump announced that he will be cutting off aid to Honduras and so on. Earlier this week, Ramos called for the legalization of all of the country's illegal immigrants while saying that the border wall is a symbol of hate and racism. He also insisted that Americans must accept that the U.S.-Mexico border is nothing more than an invention. Well, what do you think of that one? Globalist that Jorge Ramos is, we all know that. Jorge Ramos is a globalist. That's just kind of a nice little thing to kind of be ending the show on, right? Hello, Jorge. We love our Jorge Ramos. So I guess the question is that really what we want to be doing? If you know what I mean, is that what we really want to do? Do we want to have open borders like that, like he says? Is that what we're doing? Is that what we're here for? I don't know. I think it's kind of interesting, though, that he's calling for that, and we're not doing anything about it, right? Are we? Are we doing anything about it? We're not doing anything to stop him, as far as I can tell. I don't see anything stopping this situation. Do you? No, I don't. And they're certainly not taking it up in Congress. Interesting. I'd bring that up, huh? Kind of interesting. You can call in if you want to. 215-867-8255 if you have any comment on that. You know, I got some people waiting on the line here. If you want to do that, that's area code 215-867-8255. And should we open the borders entirely? Should we have open borders now at this point in time? That's the big question. 215-867-8255. Let's go with that. Let's just open the borders up, right? What would that be like? We already know what it's like in California. Right. Well, of course, California is very porous because you have so many people that have moved out of the state, haven't they? They didn't stand their ground. They gave it up. And now there's talk of just having no border. And, of course, you see the pressure that's mounting because there's a lot of people talking about having a real border in California anyway, and that would be with New California. Now, that would be something, wouldn't it, if we had a New California border. A New California border. And of course, we would enforce the border. We would, absolutely we would. And back in the, you see, this has been a breakdown of our border security for years here in California and the rest of the nation, of course. And now they're at a high point where they're just flooding across and invading us. All of it promulgated mostly by the Catholic Church front down in that area. A lot of people haven't wanted to assign blame to that, but that's a lot. They have a long history of moving people forward and fighting basically against oftentimes the Protestants. That's true. That's true. There's some very interesting stories if you go back to the history about this, especially if you go and uncover the immigration policies of the Catholic Church in Mexico. Very interesting. David Fitzgerald writes about this. Says the first massive wave of immigration from Mexico took place during the 1910s to 20s as Mexicans fled political and economic turmoil at home for work in the United States agriculture and railroads. By 1929, an estimated 738,000 people from Mexican birth lived in the United States. Many of them migrated seasonally. And then it says here, within Mexico, most elites opposed the mass migration of its people and the country's largest asset to the United States. Now, this was from 1910 to 1920s, okay? The strongest sentiment against immigration during the time period, this is from an article by David Fitzgerald from the Migration Policy Institute, I might add. I'm not just pulling this out of my head, you know. It says the strongest sentiment against immigration during the period came from the Catholic Church, an influential voice in a country where more than 98% of the population identified as Catholic, even as the church continued to lose its long and bloody struggles with the government. The church feared that migration caused the breakup of families, religious conversions, and the introduction of dangerous foreign ideas. However, the church's various attempts to prevent migration northward largely failed. By the 1960s, the migration policy shifted to preparing migrants for the journey, establishing closer ties with the church in the United States, the Catholic Church, in other words, and becoming a voice for migrants' rights while encouraging both their U.S. integration and homeland ties. With 88% of Mexicans under the age of 4 being Catholic in 2000, according to the INEGI, Mexico's official statistical agency, the church continues to play an important role in the migration experience. Even as the number of evangelical Christians grow. It says the article is based on a chapter from the recent book called A Nation of Immigrants, How Mexico Manages Its Migrations. It explores these changes in church policy and circumstances. It says in 1920, Archbishop of Guadalajara in central Mexico called for a holy crusade against immigration. In a circular read allowed, in a circular read aloud in Sunday masses throughout the archdiocese and published under the banner headline "Against Immigration" in the regional Catholic Weekly. The following year, a week-long conference in Guadalajara on agrarian problems developed a national church response to immigration. In the eyes of the church hierarchy, immigration entailed numerous perils. The first was returnees' foreign ideas. Returnees had foreign ideas and U.S. attachments. These ideas endangered the purity of Mexican culture and even Mexico's very existence as a sovereign state. Despite pervasive discrimination against Mexicans in the United States, migrants came back to Mexico with impossibly high expectations of wages and working conditions that generated the agrarian radicalism the church bitterly opposed. The parish priest of San Juan de los Lagos reported in 1920 that returnees were introducing, listen to this, anarchist ideologies learned in the United States. Memories of the 1848 annexation of what became the southwestern United States were still fresh in the 1920s, and fears that migrants would make individuals comparison between Mexico and the United States were not unfounded. In his 1931 study of Andes, a town in the state of Jalisco, Berkeley, economist Paul S. Taylor found that found that returnees had a much more positive view of the United States than residents who never left. In the eyes of the church, family disintegration was the second major problem immigration caused, because husbands returned to Mexico to find their households in ruin, with wife or daughter dishonored, and sons abandoned to their instincts, prepared for crime. A mostly male migration left women back home unprotected and exposed to the temptations of infidelity and even prostitution when men did not return or provide for their families. Family separation threatened nationalists, as well as gendered obligations. In the conference presenters' views of things, the absence of fathers and husbands crumbled and destroyed, split in half, and alienated the worker's family, the basic unit of society's moral and material strength. By threatening the workers, immigration threatened Mexico itself. Religious apathy or conversion was the third set of problems. This is interesting. According to church records, in the 1920s, migrants in the United States lost their faith because few priests could minister to them in Spanish, and Protestant missionaries took advantage of Catholic weakness by offering needy migrants relief in exchange for conversion. And, of course, that set off a big row between the Protestants and the Catholics. Gosh, nothing changes, does it? And here that is still going on. Anyway, going to run for time now. We're going to get more into depth into this whole thing about what's driving these forces of people coming across the border, and, of course, why are we doing nothing about it, really? And we aren't doing anything about it. You almost have to kind of say, well, okay, throw up our arms and we just have open borders. And, of course, criminal behavior is okay, right? We just have to ask, you know, people like Gavin Newsom about criminal behavior if it's okay. Or Jerry Brown, right? Relax, it's okay. Just kick back. Enjoy your avocados and your limes with your margaritas, right? I'm sure that we're not going to run out of tequila. Anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Got to run for time, and remember to visit our website, a21r.com, and, of course, newcaliforniastate.com, newcaliforniastate.com. We've got a lot of things going on. We've got the big convention coming up on the 17th and 18th of May down in Fresno. So stay with us. And stay strong, America. Stay strong. Remember, we are exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN,
American Exceptionalism News Network.